Blog Talk Radio.
Veteran career strategist Laverne Freeman and a regular guest on our show discusses the new training workshops created by Operation ABLE that will debut in October. Reinventing yourself, staying relevant, and strategic networking are three of the Power Pack sessions designed for older workers in job transition or getting back into the workplace. Modestly priced, these sessions will help Greater Boston area residents to step up their game, become more competitive, while advancing their career options in industries across the regions. I am honored to be the trainer for this exciting upcoming session, and we'll describe them in detail on today's show. Spread the word to your friends and colleagues who need a job makeover and aren't afraid to become transformed. And we'll pay tribute to the 13th anniversary of September 11th, Gone But Not Forgotten. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're in for a treat. I have back one of our Kitchen Cabinet Leadership Team members, Laverne Freeman, who is just an expert in all things about careers and jobs. And when I think about our baby boomers and those who are approaching baby boomer years, getting older, and some may find that they need to have either a new job or their employer that they were working with decided that they needed to be transitioned out, and again, they find themselves to need a job. I think we'll have some answers for you today. And then later on in the program, we will pay tribute this 13th anniversary of September 11th. I'd love for you to go to my website, tellcarol.com, to find out more about my services, but also go to MSSConnect.com. We are gearing up for our November 6th Multicultural Conference. Our keynote speaker live will be coming here from England, from Liverpool, England, will be Garth Dallas, and that's going to be an extraordinary, exciting time to drill down and to learn more about diversity, inclusion, and multicultural endeavors that will be on November 6th at the University of Massachusetts Boston campus. This will be our 8th conference and definitely our best. So go to MSS Connect, sign up, and learn more about how you can become a member of the Multicultural Symposium Series. Well, some of my friends are looking for work, and I'm sure some of your friends are also looking for work. If they happen to be over, let's say, 45 or 50 years old, it may not be as easy for them as it had been 25 or 30 years earlier. And more today than ever, the whole concept of repackaging yourself so that you can stay current and fresh and marketable is extremely important in this very competitive society that we live in. And who better to talk about that is career expert, who is also a part of Operation ABLE, Laverne Freeman. Hi, Laverne. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Carol. How are you? And thank you for having me again.
Wonderful. First of all, tell us about Operation ABLE. What is it, and who do you serve?
Well, Operation ABLE has been around now for 32 years, and Operation ABLE stands for Ability Based on Long Experience. We service mainly the mature workers, and those are people 45 plus. Our mission and our job is to get them back into the workforce if they're not working, and to train them into the newer things, keep them relevant, train them into the computers, train them, give them the coaching they need. A lot of times it's just a matter of networking or building up their self-esteem. But we actually help them improve their lifestyle, their health. We have have a lot of programs over here. We help them with their finances. We help them manage their finances, help them just get back into networking, get back into that circle of the employed. So a lot of things go into getting that person back into the workforce, and we handle the whole, I like to say, the whole range of getting them back into that lifestyle of working again.
Well, again, you're talking about repackaging people in a very competitive society, and again, it's not just for people who are 45, who are 55 or 60. You go back to 45 years old, and in our circles today, because we have younger people who are very competitive and dead on in terms of their skills, it means that the older you are, the more you need to really focus on keeping yourself sharp and effective, should I say. So tell us about this new series that you have started that will start on October 6th that I'm really excited to be a part of.
Yes, we're starting a series of workshops, and we've been doing workshops here for a while. We have two job fairs a year for the mature worker, and we actually invite our students also. We have students here that are not 45, so we do have the younger students here, and they are welcome to come. But our main focus is getting the people 45-plus years back into the job market. So we have two job fairs a year. We have one coming up in November, and we've always done workshops. We've done workshops around networking before the job fairs, workshops around LinkedIn, and workshops around your resumes, and workshops on how to work a job fair. So we've expanded on that, and we said, okay, let's do some workshops on reinventing yourself and staying relevant, and on strategic networking. And who better to ask to conduct those workshops than Carl Copeland Thomas?
It was an idea
of mine about 6 months ago. So I wrote the program out, and I passed it on to our CEO, and she said, why not? Let's do it. So thus, we're having two sessions. We're having a session in October and one in November. And the three workshops we are going to cover are, the first one is October the 6th, is reinventing yourself. And we found that that was really one that was really in demand. And it's teaching the older worker how to move forward and not to move back, but to not look at mistakes of what they did in the and they did wrong, but to focus on the future and going forward.
And that's really about the repackaging, too. That's how a worker, especially someone who has been entrenched, and maybe they worked a job for a number of years, and suddenly they find that they're out of work, and they don't know how to really get into step. So we're going to really work them and walk them through the steps that they need to repackage themselves in a very proactive way.
And that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to teach them how that's done. They're going to be in the morning when it's nice and everybody's nice and fresh and ready to go.
Right.
So that's one that's really, really in demand. I've reinvented myself several times.
Tell me about it.
Yes, and so that's going to be one of our, that's going to be one that we, that's the first one, really, that's going to be the one that we're kicking off October the 6th. On October the 20th, we're going to do one on staying relevant. And I actually got that idea from you because you came to one of our events here, and you said you've stayed relevant the whole time. And I said, how have you done that? And you went over some of the things, and I said, that is very interesting. And I said, staying relevant, I call it don't be a typewriter that's what I call it, because nobody wants a typewriter anymore. Everybody's got a computer. So that's what I call staying relevant. Everybody teases me because I say, oh, don't be a typewriter. So that's another one that Carl's going to do. It's going to teach everybody how to stay relevant, how to hang in there. And we do a lot of that here. We have three classes, and one of them is beginners. It's the teaching people how to upload their resume. Because you can't do anything now if you don't know how to use the computer. And then from there we go into skills to work and QuickBooks and whatever. So stay in relevant.
We're going to definitely cover that, and I'm so glad you brought that up too. Mm-hmm. I think one of the ways that if we were to give tips for those who whatever can't make it to the sessions that I'm going to conduct is if you are older, I would suggest when you're at your next social function or if you're at the next convention or reception that your company or organization has, get out of your crowd that you normally are with. Don't sit with your crowd. Sit with new people and sit with younger people.
Exactly.
Because the integration of newer people and younger people in your life is critical. I went to a social event, a wonderful golf outing that I emceed about 2.5 weeks ago. And at the end, at the home of the host who actually put on the event, there were tables of us, and the older people were on one side, and the younger people were all on the other side. I got up, and I went over to the younger side and sat down and had a meaningful conversation with them. So it's just simply those kind of techniques where you can sort of uproot yourself from your level of comfort and totally submerge yourself into an area that is uncomfortable but important and relevant to you.
Exactly, because if you interview now, 9 times out of 10, you're going to interview with somebody that is much, much younger than yourself, the first line of recruiters. And if you come to the job fairs, you will see the recruiters, the first line of recruiters are going to be very young recruiters. And you need to interact with the younger people at any kind of function and see what they're up to, see what they're talking about. And that is a part of staying relevant. You're exactly right. And the last in the series is October 27th, is strategic networking. And I can't stress that enough. I've actually had networking sessions here where I've had to push people out on the networking floor, and they said, what am I supposed to say? Hello? How are you doing? A shake, you know. And so that strategic networking, you just can't get past that. And I mean, I'm networking all the time. And you don't have to be like me, but you have to network. And so before the session starts, we're going to have a half hour of coffee, tea, and networking to just get it started, because you have to network. And we teach that all the time.
And I'm excited about this because we will have an opportunity to really teach people simple words that can be used, simple questions that can be used. Also important, just bringing some business cards. Even if you don't have a job, you can still have a business card.
Exactly.
And pass those on to those decision makers who may not call you back right away, but just simply having your card, maybe 2, 3, 4 months down the road when an opportunity comes up, they can give you a call.
Exactly. And we have a lot of connections. We have a lot of people on our board of directors. I have a lot of connections. Everybody here has connections, and we're happy to help anybody at any time that's really to connect with our connections to get people in the in that, you know, get them in the atmosphere to meet people. I've put about 271 professionals to work since I've been here. And
Absolutely.
We have and just getting them out back into the workforce and getting them employed and pointing them in the right directions. And I'm not the only one here. We have other consultants that work with different fields, administrative assistants. And so we have been very successful here once we get the people here in the programs. Operation ABLE has been around for a long time, and they really take an interest in getting the people trained and back to work. So they do a great work here. They really do.
I would suggest that you, if you're interested in the series of workshops or the job fairs, fair that's coming up in November, you can go to operationable.net, operationable.net, and find out all the information. You can also schedule a time to come in and talk with Laverne or participate with any of the resource building workshops and training sessions and take advantage of all of the things that take place within this great organization. In closing, Laverne, share with us one tip for someone who is really feeling down and they're putting themselves down and they don't feel that they have the value that the marketplace demands demands for them to get that next?
Well, I would tell anyone who's feeling that way, if it's a woman, I tell them to look in the mirror, put on a little lipstick, put on their face and smile, and go out and greet people. A man, do the same thing. Put on that necktie and that shirt, put on a little cologne. Go out, greet people, go out and walk down the greenway. Greet people and smile. You can not get past that smile. Some of the best people that come to the store have some of the most beautiful smiles. And when they come in and they smile right away, and even though they're down, they have some of the problems you wouldn't believe. But they put on that smile and they put on that face, and people are willing to help you. They ask somebody else, how are you doing today? That smile and that face, it's just like a winning thing. It lifts them up, it lifts the other person up, and it really works.
Yes, I think that's great advice. And you can even go out there and try to find a volunteer opportunity where your services, you won't be paid for it, but your services will be used and will be able to benefit someone else because you care enough to go out and volunteer. So putting on that smiling face and maybe...
It does help.
Oh, sure. And even, you know, go out and there are many ways you can buy new clothes. You don't have to buy new clothes at retail. You can go to a consignment shop. You can go to places where outfits are discounted. But maybe you can purchase a new outfit just to make you feel better. This could be a power suit for you that you can use in interviewing. So there are many ways that you can pick yourself up. Operation Able, they're experts at it. Laverne Freeman is definitely an expert, and you can go to operationable.net to find out more about these personal development series that will take place starting in October, the job fair in November, and other ways where you can really repackage yourself for success. Laverne, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, and talk to you soon.
All right, take care now. All right,
bye-bye.
Laverne Freeman is such a pro at everything that she does, and we are excited to work with her and actually partnering with her on reinventing yourself, staying relevant, and strategic networking, the three workshops that will take place in the coming week starting October 6th. And again, the website is operationable.net, operationable.net. It's going to be fun, and we encourage you to be there and get your seat because seating is limited and you want to be in the front of the line. I think it's a very nominal fee, like $10, not that much money. For $10 for some people, that is a lot of money. I understand that, but they've tried to keep the price very, very low to accommodate those who really need the information and can benefit from it accordingly. So I would encourage you to find out more about it at their website and go on and get yourself geared up for the rest of your career path. We want to switch gears now a little bit and talk about the 13th anniversary of 9/11. It's hard for me to believe that 13 years have passed. It's very vivid in my mind, and I know it's vivid in the minds of many of you who are out there who either experienced it firsthand, had someone who passed away, either in the Twin Towers in New York or in the Pentagon or on the flight that perished in the farmland area in Pennsylvania. Whatever your story happens to be, it definitely is worth remembering because 9/11 will be an American story, a tragic story in line with Pearl Harbor, in line with many of the great historic events that Americans can understand, and not just Americans because there were other people who passed away on 9/11 who were not Americans. They just happened to be in the World Trade Center. I remember being in the Marriott Hotel conducting a workshop in the World Trade Center in June of 2001 and just really being riveted when I heard the news, called a friend and wanted to know what about that Marriott where I was, and she said, it is gone. So to have those kind of memories just totally obliterated before your very eyes is astounding, to say the least. I also remember because I was working that day. I just talked about the workshops that I'm going to be doing with Operation Able in October. On September 11th, I had come back from New Orleans. I had gone to a radio conference in New Orleans and come back on September 10th to get ready for my workshop that I was having for the phone company. It may have been called New England Telephone Company at that time. They've changed names, and now they are part of Verizon, the Verizon system. But at that time, I had 125 women who were going through a workshop with me, a personal development workshop with me. Some of the women were being video conferenced in, so we had probably 60 or so women who were in various locations, and the rest were in the room with me. So when the officials came in at 8:48 maybe, the plane hit the World Trade Center, the first one at 8:46 a.m., maybe 5 minutes later, two officials came in the room and stood by the side. I didn't think anything of it, and then they approached me, and then I knew something was wrong. I thought it was something related to the organization. And they very quietly whispered in my ear that something is going on in New York, and a plane has hit one of the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center towers. Knowing that all those women were looking at me, and they were also looking at me via the video screen, I had to remain completely composed. I couldn't show a lot of expression on my face because I didn't want to alarm people, needlessly so. Had no idea the relevance and the impact of this experience. And I typically, with work, try to separate my faith and religious activities that I participate in with my audience because I'm very respectful of them, and I know that they appreciate that. But the lines were blurred at that time. I knew it was a bad situation, and I knew the power of prayer and meditation was in order. And so I asked for the room to stop, and we just had a moment of silence and meditation. Then we continued on with the workshop. And then 10 minutes later, the same officials come back in the room, and I know it's even worse than the first time. And they share with me, I believe we need to stop the workshop because a second plane has hit one of the towers in New York. Now, at that point, when you're in my position, a lot of things are going through your mind. Lots of things are racing through your mind. The most important thing is keeping composure for the people who are in front of you. But also I'm thinking that this is a pattern. This is a very bad pattern. And I'm in a major organization, a utility company, a major communications organization in downtown Boston, and I'm hearing that these planes may have come from Boston. Well, you can put two and two together. You think that Boston could possibly be the next target, and possibly a building like the telephone company can be the next target. So we very quickly ended the workshop, explained what was going on, and asked people to be safe in going back to either their offices or going wherever they had to go. And then I tried to go and make phone calls. Couldn't do it. All of the cell phone systems, I had my cell phone then, all of the cell phone systems were blocked, and you couldn't make a call out. I went, we tried to see what was going on. I think someone finally got on CNN online, and we were able to get updated information. By the time I left the building, probably 15, 20 minutes later, outside in downtown Boston was complete chaos. People were running around. News media were sticking microphones in front of your face asking, do you have relatives in New York? And I did have a niece there. I wanted to make sure she was okay. Something also told me to go to the radio station that I was working for, and I actually was working for a very popular radio station in Boston where I did go and ended up going on the air with a colleague, and then we were streaming ABC news feeds live, and so the ABC news correspondent would come on. We kept hearing something about Osama bin Laden. I had heard his name before but didn't pay much attention to it. And we spent the entire afternoon on the air trying to calm down our listeners and also trying to give as much information as possible to our audience. Little did I realize that one of my friends and colleagues was on vacation at that time, and he and his wife were down at the Cape with no television. They only had a radio. And they were glued to my radio program, finding out as much information as possible on the radio. Now, remember, this is 13 years ago, so Internet technology wasn't as widespread as it is today. So people would listen to the radio and obviously the television, and then ultimately would receive more information electronically if they had access to a computer. We didn't have smartphones back then. But that was just a riveting, riveting day. I found out later that a couple of days later that they did have losses in the at the telephone company. There were employees who had been working in various spots, I believe in New York and maybe in Washington, D.C. My mind is fuzzy about that. But they lost about two people in that tragic episode. The worst for me was the workshop I was scheduled to do the next day, September 12th, with the TJX companies. The TJX companies own Marshall's, the retail discount store, and TJ Maxx and other stores related to them. I had been working with them as their diversity consultant for a number of years, and I found out on 9/11, as I was confirming the workshop and just finding out how things were with them, that seven of their employees had been on one of the planes going to New York, or going elsewhere, but it obviously crashed in the World Trade Center in New York. So the TJX companies lost seven employees in the blink of an eye. I did go to the workshop the next day, but we did not hold the workshop. It was just too stressful, and they were in shock. They were asking me questions. I was trying to console them, and it was a horrific time when you feel absolutely helpless in trying to help and comfort people who have such deep loss. So 9/11, for me, will always be personal from the point of view of my clients and customers who lost friends and colleagues and people they probably said hello to for the last time, and children who bid their moms and dads off on airplanes that never came back, and the memorial services that followed, and the tears and the sorrow that followed as a result of that horrific day. We fast forward and we see troubles continuing, not only in our country, but around the world. This horrific demonic group, ISIS, that is infesting itself and embedding itself in Iraq and other parts of the Middle East, are the latest group of terrorists who are wreaking havoc in that part of the world. And so it lets us know that our work as vigilant citizens of justice and freedom, our work is not over. Our work is not done. I say, oh, my goodness, our President Obama has his hands full. He got us out of Iraq, as he had promised, with his presidential campaign. And now we are just sort of creeping back into the country and now doing airstrikes that have been ordered by him over Syria with the chaos that they are facing, and ISIS seems to be embedded initially in Syria and then wreaking havoc over the shores and the landscape of Iraq. So to President Obama, I say I hope he has strength and courage to continue on. To the American people and the people around the world who were deeply impacted by 9/11, I say that we have strong for those who need us the most and those who are in harm's way. And just many, many thoughts to those who need to have encouragement and dignity and promise and hope when there seems to be none. Quoting Martin Luther King, he says, "In a real sense, all life is interrelated. All men are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I want to be until you are what you want to be, and you can never be what you want to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of our reality." Now, that was said 50 years ago, and I think his words now are as relevant as they were during that time. God bless America. God bless all those who are fighting for freedom wherever they happen to be. And we hope that the iron fists of justice will prevail in our world today and certainly in worlds going forward. Have a great week. We wish you the very best, and we'll be back next week with a very important show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas signing off.